Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What's going on? We are here for another episode of Believe in Kentucky alongside Aaron Gershon from the Cat's Paws. My name is Vinny Hardy. AG, man, how we doing?
Can't complain, man. Luckily, we're not north where I grew up. And you see, have you seen the pictures of the fire? They're getting the remnants of that wildfire up in Canada, and like the shots that we're getting from New York City of the orange sky, the air quality. The Yankee game was canceled because of it. It's crazy. So I know for my family and friends that do listen to this, I'm thinking about them and hoping they're breathing all right and is staying inside during the craziness. But everything here in Lexington.
Yeah, I think from New York and all the Northeast is hard. I think it's like even like North Carolina, some people are
down. My girlfriend and her family are actually on the Outer Banks right now, and I haven't gotten to talk to her yet much today, but she didn't mention anything. But I did see, like, I still have Greensboro in there on the weather app from March, and I saw they had an air quality warning too. So yeah, man, it's crazy what's going on mostly north of us. Even Cincinnati, I see, is kind of in that green area where it's a little high. So definitely be careful up there. Just be aware of it the next couple of days.
Absolutely. And I don't know if like it rained here all day, so maybe that kind of helped.
Yeah, it did rain here too.
To, you know, beat some of the smoke down or not let it travel here as much. But yeah, that is wild that that's happening. Hopefully it does, you know, they can control it in Canada, first of all, and then it'll kind of choke it out from, you know, hitting New York and everybody in Connecticut and your way and stuff like that, man. That's crazy.
Absolutely.
Because I'm going to keep an eye on the finals game, but I got to, man, we got to start this episode with a little audio. I was a little bit premature, but it's just going to be phone to mic, but it'll, everybody listening already knows, and just got to go ahead and do it, man. Because
here is the 2-1 from Moore.
There you go.
Swing and a high chop to second. Petre backpedals, gloves, throws. A super performance by the Kentucky Wildcats this weekend in Lexington.
So, first of all, Darren Hedrick is a pro. Man.
Yeah, he is.
And you had the former longtime coach, Keith Madison, there calling the games with him. You were there covering every single game. You saw everything. He just painted a picture of the dog pile. Coming out of the loser's bracket too, man.
Yeah.
Come on, Aaron.
Name is 17, man. It was very, very similar in that sense. Even obviously Indiana being the team he had to beat twice, but they did beat Indiana in the same game they beat West Virginia in back in 2017. So a lot of similarities, and yeah, man, it was so fun seeing that place rocking. You know, the new ballpark, Kentucky Proud Park, which, let's be honest, it hasn't been the first 5 years of its existence. And you know, honestly, and Nick Mangione's been very honest about it for good reason, right? I mean, they haven't been very good. And he always says you need three things. You know, you need to win games, you need weather, and now this year the alcohol. But he always makes that joke. But really, those two things. And you know, weather's been mostly good. I guess I don't really know. I'm not gonna tell you I know the weather the past 5 years, but I can tell you the baseball wasn't very good. So they finally got it together this year, and the support was outstanding all weekend. Pretty much every single game except for that Sunday one against West Virginia, but. Man, I don't blame anyone because it was like 95 degrees out that day, and still got a pretty damn good crowd out of it. So, really, really good showing by Big Blue Nation all weekend, and a lot of fun, man. It's a resilient team. They got great pitching really all weekend. I mean, even the game they lost. I mean, Zach Lee pitched his ass off, gave up the two home runs. The one to the catcher Cerruto was kind of one that sent shockwaves, given that you know he's a light hitting catcher. I mean, he was hitting 260 or something like that, so not horrendous, but. Three home runs all year, two home runs all year, something like that. And, you know, he was able to get one out to right. And then that ninth inning, Devin Burks hits a ball that looks almost the same off the bat. And the wind kind of calmed down a little bit by that point in the game and it doesn't get out. And then Petrie misses one down the line. So you lose that one, but you come out and I don't even know how else to put it. They kicked West Virginia's ass. I mean, they just Austin Strickland pitched his butt off. He was outstanding. The bats got hot. They took advantage of a little bit of sloppy defense on the WVU side, and they took it to him. And then they took it to Indiana in the nightcap. And I think that was, I mean, that you kind of felt like after they beat West Virginia that way, they were going to be good for that game Sunday night. Not just because, you know, the momentum, but Indiana used all their premium pitchers on Friday against West Virginia and then on Saturday against the Cats. So they were able to kind of get into the depth of that Indiana pitching staff that wasn't very good, and they beat them up pretty good Sunday night. And then I thought Monday night on both sides, you know, credit IU, was an awesome, great played baseball game, good pitching, really good defense on both sides. But Kentucky's offense just did a little bit more, and they got the win that they deserved.
Exactly. It's and you mentioned that first game, like Cerruto, man, he's like you said, light hitting, not non-hole guy. You got him 0-2.
Yes.
So he just this close to knocking him out. And you know, he you know, credit to him, he's able to you know, go clutch and hit a 3-run homer. But you play Indiana 4 times this year, you beat them 3 times, beat them 2 of those wins by double digits, you know, beat them 12-2 in the regular season, beat them 16-6, you know, Sunday. So
16-6, yep.
You know, and if that's the note they choose to end the series on, well, so be it for them.
Yeah, I didn't really understand what was going on with all that. I mean, Kentucky did play their last season in 2022. They got their asses kicked by Indiana that game. So I'm not sure if, like, I'm not going to say Jeff Mercer was lying. Maybe he meant like they wanted to keep it going after next year, and Kentucky didn't want to go back to Bloomington next year. So maybe that's how it was. But, those two teams have been going at it, whether it's like one game a year where one comes to Lexington and one goes to Bloomington, or they do a home and home. They've had that, you know, two midweek games, kind of like Kentucky does with Louisville each year. Obviously, the one in Louisville got canceled this year, but I don't really know what was going on, but there was definitely animosity between the two sides. I think from the player's point of view, man, when you're just going to battle with so much at stake, I think, you know, you say things, you chirp, but it is what it is. But clearly, the two coaches have had conversations about series and haven't gone well, and that boiled over into the games. You saw Mitch Barnhart give a little stink eye out there. So, something between the coaches and the administrations, there was something. But I think the players, man, were just playing ball and playing it at a really high level all weekend. Both teams.
They hit. This is the weird thing for me. They hit 9 of our batters, but
I know.
they're the ones that are upset and want to end the series.
Kentucky was loving it too, man. They weren't even mad about it. And none of it was intentional. I get it. Like, anytime anyone, I just saw in your Braves game, Pete Alonso get drilled and get hurt. Hope he's all right. But that wasn't intentional. But the other team's going to take it as intentional and take it personally. And that's just how it goes in baseball, man, especially when someone gets hurt. But luckily, no one on Kentucky side got hurt. And they kept drilling guys, and they weren't trying to. Like I said, there were a lot of pitches that were off speed, and I think Mercer was kind of a little ticked off after the game because it cut. You know, in the MLB, if you don't make an effort, and it doesn't have to be much of an effort, but if you don't at least make that gesture back, they're usually going to call it a strike, or I think if they call it a strike because you didn't make the effort to get out of the way of the ball. And in college, I think if it plunks you, it plunks you, as long as you don't lean into it. So I think he was a little ticked off that they were kind of just letting it hit you, but they were playing by the rules of college baseball, and the pitches were coming inside, man. Control your stuff, and it won't happen. Kentucky – and I also think it might have set Indiana off the wrong way when Kentucky, after the game, said they were practicing getting hit, which kind of might have been like, hey, man, we know we're playing the brunt of their pitching staff. We're not facing any of their big dogs. They're going to be wild, man. Just let it hit you. So, look, they cashed in. They played a little bit better. Obviously, they played a lot better Sunday night in that one, but they played a little bit better in Monday night, and they deserve to win that ball game.
That's right. And Monday night, I forget which at bat it was. Just watching the broadcast, they threw an off speed pitch, and Felker did move his knee a little bit. He did. He moved his knee a little bit on an off-speed pitch to keep it. I was like, wow. And even the commentators even mentioned it. They're like, whoa, Jace Felker moved out of the way of that pitch a little bit, because, you know, which was what they hadn't been doing. But he did just a tad. And, it was a lefty, a little sweeping.
Bothwell, yeah. He was really, really good, by the way. Ty Bothwell was, but Mason Moore, holy crap, man.
Yeah.
That kid all weekend made a name for himself. And, you know, luckily for Kentucky, he's got another year before he's even draft eligible. So I think that's kind of the guy you market next year. I think that's the next step. I was actually having that conversation with someone today, man. I mean, obviously, after this season, hopefully it ends in Omaha one way or another. You know, we'll see what happens in Baton Rouge. It's going to be really hard. But these kids have made this happen deserve to start cashing in too now. I mean, I don't really know what the NIL situation is. I've never seen any baseball players marketed during my time here. I actually had someone come up to me waiting in a concessions line one game and saw his media, and they were kind of asking me some questions about the team and who some of the key players were, and they were in UK stuff. And I was like, oh boy, so they got to do a better job marketing their players, and I think Mason Moore is one that they got to market the hell out of next year.
Yeah, and not to look ahead, because everybody loves to do the way too early stuff. You know, your team hadn't even cut down the nets, and the top 25 for next year. But, you know, you mentioned the similarities between this year and 2017. Well, you know, Coach Ben Jones would be in a similar position of coming off of a super regional. Will he approach it differently as far as building team and carrying that momentum into 2024 differently than he did 2018 that caused a slide? So that's for him to figure out. He's got a, you know, LSU team to worry about right now. But a lot of people will be interested to see how they approach it now, because, hey, you had first good season in a long time.
Yeah, you got to
build on it. Yeah, keep it going and you know, not just have a drop-off, but kind of build up to being consistently solid and contending, even though you got weather and all those kind of things that, you know, you're not Florida and you know, all these schools that can play year round. Keep, you got the ball rolling again. Let's kind of keep pushing it on down the hill and let it, you know, get some momentum too.
Yeah, you have to. And the portal makes it easier. I mean, it really does.
Yeah.
You heard Hunter Gillum talk about after the game how he was a portal kid who just had never gotten to play any type of postseason baseball coming from Longwood. I'm not saying you want to go recruit Longwood, because you may get a gem like Gillum has been, but you know, you need to keep pulling guys out of the portal to kind of replace some of the, there are a lot of seniors on this team that you're gonna have to fill the holes with. And I think he'll do that. You know, I know they already have one commitment, I believe from Delaware, an all-conference guy. I honestly have been too busy to read too much into that, but I think that'll continue. But, you know, obviously he did a really, really good job putting this year's team together. And a couple of these guys, like Petrie, I believe, is not draft eligible yet. I know Burks is, but Mason Moore, I touched on him. He's good to stay. Couple other ones that are slipping my mind that are key parts of this team that can come back next year and be a part of it again. So you definitely got to keep building. It can't be – Travis Smith is the other one I was thinking of. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it can't be a it can't be a one and done like it was in 17. And I know the 18 team had injuries, and I know the 18 team, you look at their resume and they probably still should have got in the dance. But you can't even – you got to – I'm not saying you have to host every year, but you got to start making it a thing where you're a tournament team every year for the fans to keep doing what they did this year.
Exactly. Exactly. I think the broadcast too has said if Kentucky keeps this up, they're gonna have to expand Kentucky Pride Park, because you know you set an attendance record and then you broke it. You know.
Yeah.
Right. So you know, and it's there. Just you know, everybody thinks basketball, but this fan base. You know, which Kentucky's doing good at anything, the fans come out and support it. And if it's there, they want to be able to pack the house and cheer and get into it like you were there to witness. And so, yeah.
Yeah, this is a great baseball town. I mean, there have been a lot of good baseball players, not just that went to UK, but like the Walker Buellers of the world out there.
Yeah.
I can give you countless of other names. There's too many to list. And then obviously, you know, you had the legends here, minor league affiliate. You still, you know, now they're an independent ball team, but counterclocks, whatever they are now. still, like and there's a lot of good high school baseball around here. You know, Henry had some really dominant years, obviously with Buehler, and this is a great, great baseball town. And they really appreciate when Kentucky has a good team. And we saw exactly what it meant to them. You know, it's a bummer that none of the teams down in Baton Rouge could pull through an upset LSU, not because it would be easier, but to have more postseason ball in Lexington would have been fun, but hopefully they can make it a close to yearly thing here.
That's right. So speaking of LSU, Saturday at 3:00, the first game, I think, you know, like you said, it's going to be tough. There's no, you can't deny that, but the familiarity to me helps. You went down there, got whooped that first game, but you went toe-to-toe with him in the next two. You won the second game, lose the third game 7-6, and you had the lead late in that game. So to me, that's got to be a little feather they can put in their cap. And we know we can go down there and play with these boys. You know, and this was, to me, mid-April. This was at the point in the schedule to me where, hey, they're having a good season, but – let's see what they're really made of, because they hadn't played the tough part of the schedule yet. Hadn't played South Carolina, hadn't played Tennessee, hadn't played Florida yet. So, you know, Vanderbilt, all those teams. So now they're a lot tougher team now going back down there than they were. They've won a regional, you know. Nobody expects them to win. LSU, to me, all the pressure's on LSU. Everybody, every year, they're supposed to be here and going on to Omaha. So, go down there, loose, free. You know you can play with them, and hey, let the chips fall where they may. But you never know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think the pressure is definitely on LSU being, and you know, they're a program that is one of the best in college baseball history, and historically that is, and they have arguably the two guys who are going to be 1-2 in the draft. I mean, there's a really good chance of that with their ace ball Skeens, who, you know, Kentucky got blown out that game, like you pointed out, but they scored 5 off Skeens, and now Skeens is probably pitching a little differently than he would, you know, in a close game. So I'll sidebar that a little bit, but they did have some success that they could build off there. And then the center fielder Cruz is just as good as it gets. So, look, it's going to be really, really tough to do it. Being able to have been at Alex Bock, obviously they'll probably be an even better crowd this time. But you know, the Ming Ji Young kind of pointed out how, you know, they know their dugout, they know their bullpen, they know all the ins and outs. Maybe even the same hotel. Who knows? I mean, there will be familiarity, and I think that'll help Kentucky in that sense too. But it's just, that is a really, really good baseball team that obviously stomped their way through their bracket down there. Beat up on Oregon State, obviously Tulane, and then I think Oregon State were the other two wins. Both of them were Oregon State. So yeah, it's going to be a challenge, but it's not impossible. This Kentucky team, the way that Mason Moore is pitching, the way that Austin Strickland's pitching, Darren Williams, what he can give you. I mean, they have some pitching depth. I'm not so sure. We'll see what Travis Smith can do. You know, he really struggled against some of those SEC offenses. He obviously did great against Ball State, but LSU's a different beast. But you're going to have to score with them. That's the big thing, man. I mean, as good as Kentucky's pitching is, they're not going to hold LSU to what they were able to do against Indiana, Ball State, and West Virginia. They're just not. Now, LSU's too good. That's not a knock on Kentucky. So we'll see. Like you said, go down there with nothing to lose, and who knows? It's best of three. Anything can happen.
That's right. That's right. And you know, for those that listen to this, we had we talked a little softball a few weeks ago with Jenna Becerra, and we talked about Oklahoma, and there they are again, fixing to play Florida State for the championship, and their win streak was at 42-45 games.
Now, what's that?
She was on 51, I think, now.
51. So, I see it right here. Holy crap.
And Florida State, I work with a guy, a huge Florida State fan. He's Florida State everything, you know, the baseball, the basketball, all sports. Florida State played them tough earlier in the season. Now, I mean, you got to beat them twice. And like we said, good luck. I don't know if they can, but maybe they kind of like Kentucky. Hey, we know we can play with them. They beat us 5-4 or something like that. And, you know, Florida State had to lead late. So, you know, like you say.
Yeah, 5-4 on March 14th. Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
In Norman.
yeah. So we went to the belly of the beast and, you know, can leave with your head held up. You weren't, you know, just blown out. So things of that nature. So fun stuff. The World Series, the Women's College World Series, and
passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
We'll see how it all shakes out. You know, and again, you know, we talk about SEC football all the time. Yeah. Some may argue SEC baseball is as tough, maybe tougher, because before the Super Regionals even start, you got two SEC teams guaranteed to go. You know, Kentucky plays LSU, South Carolina plays Florida. So we already got two tickets punched.
Yes.
Regardless.
I think the max is six, I think, maybe. I know Tennessee's still out there. You know, they're playing at Southern Miss. You said Florida. Yeah, Florida and South Carolina are playing one another.
Alabama's playing Wake Forest.
Alabama's playing Wake. That's going to be really tough. they're damn good down there. But Arkansas, Vandy got knocked off.
Yeah,
but at Texas, who will be in this league in next year, not this coming year, but the year after, I guess 2 years. They're in there still. They're going to Stanford, I believe. So. It's only going to get better. It's already really damn good. So it's fun to watch, man. The SEC is it's a different breed.
Yeah, it sure is. Sure is. Looking at the finals, we got Denver 20, Miami 16, looks like. You mentioned New York. You mentioned Alonzo getting dinged. And I saw where your guy Judge got dinged a little bit.
He's going back to the injured list, which completely sucks. Not even because I love the Yankees and want to win every game, but when you're watching him, and I'm glad Reds fans are going to get this chance, I think, with De La Cruz, the way he's already starting out, and you know, hopefully he's on a track to start him there. It's obviously a little too early to say that, but it's a superstar, man. You know, there are very few guys out there doing what he's doing. What he did last year had never been done before, obviously. So he's just a treat to watch. Both, and it sucks because he gets hurt running down an amazing catch, crashing into the wall, no regard for his body. And of all things, he jams his toe up on a cement wall and sprained a ligament in there. So we'll see how long he's out. Hopefully it's a matter of, you know, close to 10 days what the IL is. And it's a blow, man. Anytime he's not in the lineup, the Yankees look a lot worse, and the games are simply just not as fun to watch. He is a treat, man. I think even Red Sox fans, Astro fans, teams that hate the Yankees know how good Aaron Judge is and respect his greatness.
Yeah, and he's that's man. Look, I'm one that's not a Yankees fan, and as unlikable as they are, he's a likable dude. He doesn't come across as I don't like it, even though you don't care for his team. Sure. Still, I mean, he's I like that dude, man.
Yeah, he's not. I mean, obviously, he doesn't have the rings, so he's never going to be Derek Jeter unless he goes out and wins five. But kind of the same way, man, where not many people dislike Derek Jeter because he did things the right way. He said the right things. He was respectful to everybody and anyone. So it's very similar just the way those two carry themselves, go about their business. Obviously, we want to see a little bit more winning, don't we all? We're spoiled, but he's the best, man. It sucks. Anytime he's not in the lineup, it's upsetting, but hopefully he'll be back within a few weeks and back to doing what he was doing right before the injury.
Yeah, for sure. We hope to have the QB1, Jalen Whitlow, join us. We'll see if that's the case. I know that Cutter Bowley, the commit that you saw, have the Kentucky custom shoe over Michigan and all those other ones. Was that Kroger Field working out? There were some recruits there, so some O-line prospects doing some work, and Cutter making some throws, so that's always exciting. So we get a little intel from Jalen on that. But we had to, of course, start it with UK baseball because the excitement there with the Super Regionals and LSU coming up. It's going to be tough, but, definitely had to start it there. Well, you still – diving into the yearbook and what else you got going on too, man, for the catch ball.
Yeah, well, I'm actually at the end of next week going on vacation, so I'm going to enjoy that.
Okay,
so that's coming up for me. But yeah, we're shooting the cover tomorrow. There will be a story in there where I get a one-on-one with Devin Leary. I'm not sure what the feature will look like yet because I haven't done the interview, but that'll be in there. Something with either Barry on Dane or Ray will be in there too from Daryl. So really looking forward to getting that going tomorrow. But otherwise, man, it's summer, and this basketball team, I guess we could talk about that a little bit while we wait for Jalen here, if he's going to come. I'm still waiting on that so I can not only start yearbook stuff, but, start researching what the hell we're going to look like. Right. it changes. Obviously it's a fluid situation. It's a whole nother recruiting process, it feels like right now, but the team is, we talked last week's on, NBA draft deadline day where they went a half for three. They're still at a half for three because Antonio Reeves has not decided what he's going to do yet. And it looks like it looks like to me, and Cal is pivoting to plan B. And I don't know if I like plan B because it's freshmen. And I'm okay with freshmen that if they're going to be here and they're going to develop, great. It would be great to have another Derek Willis. It would be great to have another Hawkins, this kid burps. I was watching some tape from him. I was talking to some people really, really high on him. And the name that keeps coming up is Bryce Hopkins. And I'm like, well, you better play his ass. You better play him. He doesn't leave after a year. So, maybe that'll be an exciting pickup. Joey Hart, the shooter from Indiana, that's visiting tomorrow. I have some familiarity with actually from when I was working out in Indiana. Really, really good shooter. Really smart player, but I don't know where he plays his AAU and all that, so I could be off, but the competition he played in Indiana, not great because he's at a size 1A school, but they're only in 2A because they won a state championship. So I'd love to see him against watch some of that AAU tape and kind of see him against tougher competition. But really good shooter, so that's exciting. Obviously, Kentucky's been looking for a reliable shooter for a while. Thought CJ was going to be that, and it just didn't pan out with the injuries. And then the other kid, Krill, I want to say it's Krill to pronounce that last name. I've heard really, really good things about too. 7-footer, really good defender. Not going to do anything shooting-wise. He's going to be just a traditional big, and that's fine. But he's a 2024. I know he's on the older side still, so he's almost age-wise not quite a reclass, but he would be a real reclass. So it'd be really interesting to see if those three are the additions made. You know, Arthur Kuoma, the transfer out of Creighton, from what I understand, it's trending the other way, and Alabama being that other way. But, you know, Kentucky, yeah, Kentucky's still interested. We'll see what happens. And then Grant Nelson, I think, is going to either be Arkansas or Alabama's as well. So the SEC is insane, man. I was just having this conversation on Alan Cutler's show yesterday. The SEC basketball, we talk about how good it is in baseball. Obviously, football, we know how amazing it is. But basketball, the way LSU, Florida, Georgia have vastly improved this offseason, obviously what Alabama is right now, what Missouri is becoming, what Tennessee's been for, you know, probably half a decade at this point, what, you know, like them or not, what Chris Beard is doing at Ole Miss, what Chris Jans did at Mississippi State year one, and then they bring in the Marshall kid. And then, oh, yeah, Texas, who's really good every year, is coming next year. And, you know, Oklahoma, who is an act of being good every once in a while, is coming too. It's just, man, it feels like they're falling behind, man, and it's tough to watch.
Alan Cutler, no filter.
No filter.
What's up, Jalen?
What's up, man?
Oh, we doing all good, man. We doing good. Glad you could join us, man. Glad you could join us. We hadn't really hit football. We save what little bit of football stuff there is for you. I got to circle back, Aaron, to ask you. You, the kid from Indiana.
Joey Hart.
Hart. Did you say his school won the single A championship? They're 2A now because they won it.
I believe 1A? So. I'll confirm that. I know they definitely won a 1A championship. I will confirm that right now. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure they're up in 2A because of that. I know they're like a powerhouse basketball boys and girls, Linton is. And, so, you yeah, went, 20, they went 26-6, and they were, yeah, they were in 1A. They were in 1A.
So you win state, you got to go. You got to move up.
That's right. Yeah, if you win state or you're – I don't know if you – it might even be in Indiana where you're either really good for several years or you win it. I'm not exactly sure how it works. I know, for example, you know, one of the softball teams in the county that I was working in, they kind of were a dominant force. They won one state championship. They were – you know, they made the state finals a couple times, and they got bumped up to 4A when they were really a 3A school. So Indiana works, you know, they promote schools based on performance, not just, you know, when they grow in size. And I believe that was the case that happened over there with Hart School.
We got some of that EuroLeague stuff going on up there.
Yeah, there is. And they demote too, man. I mean, if you're sucking or if your team's you know, dropping in size, they send you down to 1A or 2A, whatever. They got a four. It's a four class system in Indiana, and it makes for really good postseason play. I mean, all the tournaments I ever covered in Indiana and every sport were fun. But yeah, he didn't exactly play any world beaters in his conference. That's for sure.
I'm still partial to Kentucky in basketball. Man, you got 16 regions in the state. You got to win your region to go to Rupp Arena, a little town from where I'm from. To be playing Louisville, Mayo, or Trinity, or whatever, however they draw.
Yeah, I do like it. I definitely like the Sweet 16.
Duke School better. Playing Pikeville, Ashland playing Owensboro. It don't matter. And sometimes the little schools where
little
I'm from.
Guy with,
I'm,
yeah, you get
I'm 13th region all day. Sometimes our little region will knock off them Louisville and Lexington schools, and you know Richie Farmer from before y'all from Clay County beat Allen Houston. From Ballard and Louisville, you know, and they went back to back. They met in the States. And sometimes they complain. They want to get rid of it. Oh, Louisville's winning too many. Oh, Lexington's winning too many. And then a little team will up and win it. And they'll be like, oh, see, that's why we keep it like this.
Yep.
No, I like the Kentucky thing. I like how they do it. I like that. I think it's very competitive.
I want to get Sweet 16 so bad. It's just always, you know, SEC tournament and NCAA tournament interferes with it, so I never get to go. But, you know, I try to tune in if they have broadcasts or whatever. It's I absolutely love how they do it in Kentucky too. And, you know, Indiana makes for definitely more competitive games and kind of, you know, more, I guess, room for an upset there just because – not room for an upset, but just, I don't know. It's a level playing field. There are upsets, whatever, but – during the regular season, you know, when those schools do get to play each other, the different classes, it's fun when they do that. But yeah, I don't think it beats what Kentucky's got going on, you know, but two awesome places to in both states, obviously, to play the state finals games, you know, obviously here, Rupp Arena, and then Gainbridge Fieldhouse up in Indiana is pretty cool too.
My little school, which now it's been consolidated into a county school, but it was Cumberland. It's a little town, Cumberland High School. 03, they won the region. They had a losing season going into the district. They were 11-13, ripped off 5 in a row, won the district tournament, won the region tournament, and went and played a team out of Bowling Green in Rupp Arena. When I say my whole town was there, I'm saying people hadn't seen forever.
That's the coolest part of it.
Everybody was in Rupp. It was like, look, man, this once in a lifetime. We don't care if we got work tomorrow. We going to leave. When we get out of work, go to Lexington. Going to be sleepy going back home or whatever. They got beat, but it was the one game they played there. And look, you never forget it, man.
I worked in a small county just north, one county north of Evansville for that 1 year up there. And, you know, the football team I covered got the chance to go to Lucas Oil and play in the state football championship 3A. They won the damn thing, which was so cool. And that, when I tell you that whole part of the county was there, they were there. And Brady Allen, the quarterback actually of that team, started at Purdue. Didn't start. He started his college career at Purdue, and now he transferred to Louisville, followed Jeff Brom, former four-star guy. So he was a super good dude. Fortunately, he's wearing red now, but, you know, still got room for his individual success and career there.
That's what they always say to whenever those little schools go, you know, the last one leaving the town, turn the lights out, you know.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was, you know, Hobson, Indiana was all of that city was there.
I like that.
Absolutely. Well, man, Jay, what you got? What you, you've been noticing, you've been observing football-wise, sports-wise, anything? We talked a lot of, deservedly so, Kentucky baseball before you came on with them, you know, going to the regional and all that, but.
That's the big thing I've been, you know, kind of observing is the baseball thing, which is exciting, man. You know, it's good for them, man. I think I went to 2 baseball games when I was there, and I haven't been to the new field yet, the new stadium, but you know, I think, you know, a good thing. I think the SEC to make the tournament, to win coming out of the SEC. Is one of those things where put it like this, if I'm a Big Ten guy, I'm like extremely turned into a hater right now because you talk about, we just got done talking about basketball. You know how people go, you know, but basketball, football, baseball, I mean, man, like it's ridiculous. So if you can survive, like we talked about last week, if you survive the SEC, you got a chance. So, you know, shout out to them, man. But you know, just staying abreast to my, you know, football stuff and you know, I didn't see much Kentucky football news the past few days. So, you know, just, you know, strolling along, man. A lot of NFL news, but you know, not a lot of college football stuff going on right now. Outside of, you got some small, you know, maybe just be over some people's head, but you got some small conferences kind of merging. So I played at Eastern, we're in OVC. OVC and the Big South are merging, trying to create like a super conference in that double D1 AA level. But you know, not too much, man. Just patiently wait until August and September. That's what I'm doing.
Did you happen to see the clips? Did you happen to see, you know, Cutter Bowley was at Kroger Field making some throws?
I did see that.
I know you did.
Yeah, I saw Barry on there watching. I saw Liam coming back there watching. So I did see that. But like I said, man, we talked about him. You know, got the physical tools, man. He got him. You know, just got to wait to see how he develops and, you know, potentially QB1 next year as a freshman. That would be huge. You know, because I'm not sure when the last time that happened. A kid coming out of Kentucky starting as a freshman. So we'll see. We'll see how he developed, man. And, you know, it's just, like I said, waiting on August, September.
Mm-hmm. That's it. One thing we hadn't talked about, and it's been a topic, hit and miss. You know, you hear about it, then it finally fades away. But The 8 or 9 game SEC schedule. Are you cool with it becoming 9? Do you not care? Some coaches are, you know, and Stoops is one that doesn't really want to see it go 9 because, you know, the year was all 10. He was like, you know, the COVID year, he was like, hey man, this is a grind. You got Kirby Smart. Yeah. I don't care what they do. So you get a lot of different responses. If you were playing now, would you want 8 conference games or what?
Well, it's easy for Kirby Smart to say that when you're on top. You know what I'm saying? When you're recruiting the best players, man. I mean, shit, I don't care. We play 13 conference games, you know. but, you know, it's one of those things where if I'm Mark Stoops, I do not want to do it because I, you know, let's be honest here. You know, if they add that, you know you're going to play – you're going to mess around and get like a Bama again one of those years and mess, you know, you just, it's already tough enough. You know, I don't think they should add more conference games. But like I said, you hear Nick Saban, you hear Kirby Smart say, yeah, maybe better for the league, maybe better for college football, but you know, for y'all, but you know, for everybody else, you know, I don't want to say off week because it's not an off week when you play other teams. I mean, shoot, we watched Kentucky last year squeak by. Was it Youngstown State?
No, Northern Illinois. The year before that, Chattanooga was beating.
Yeah. So you know, you want those games to, because as a coach, I'm thinking, I know I have better talent than Chattanooga. So maybe if we just get up a few scores, I can get guys in and get them reps in this game. You know, almost for a fact that that's not happening in most of those SEC games. It's just not. It's not happening. SEC is a little bit more, you know, I was physically brutal, you know, on the body. We know that. You're running up against bigger and better players. That's just what it is. More physical teams. If I'm Mark Stoops, I'm definitely not with the extra SEC games. I want to go out of conference and get those games out of conference.
Yeah, and your point is exactly why Mitch Barnhart fought for the 8 so hard. And I know that, you know, actually, you know, Mitch Barnhart has a pretty good relationship with Daryl, you know, my boss at the Catspaws, and I remember those two were kind of having a discussion at the SEC tournament, and I kind of was just dropping kind of just right there with it. And Eli Cox, who's kind of, I don't know exactly what his role is with like the SEC representative, what that label exactly is, you know, but he was saying like, you know how bad I'm beat up after every SEC game, like even Vandy, like it is a whole, you feel just like you were saying, Jalen, and you went through it, obviously, the toll these SEC games take on the body are just different than what it's going to take against Chattanooga. Not saying Chattanooga can't beat you, but they don't have the strength. They don't have the physicality that these SEC bodies do. So, yeah, I think 8 is the magic number. And I do very much like that they are instituting that for one of the non-conference games that has to be a Power 5. Obviously, Kentucky, you know, has that set up with Louisville. It would be cool to play someone else, but, you know, they have it set up, so it works well for Kentucky. But it's going to force some of the other schools to get creative, I think. You know, some of them, obviously, like Texas and Alabama, think are finishing their series this year, even though they'll be conference rivals soon. I think Wake Forest and Vandy are finishing a series, so you know some schools already have set that up, but for the ones that haven't or the ones that have won't do it or whatever, they have to do it now. So I like that as well.
Yeah, I just, you know how it is, just going, I mean, I can just remember, man, you know, and I was carrying the ball too more than most quarterbacks. You know, there's times where I carried the ball over 20 times and threw it 20 plus. So, you know, it's just it can get like that, man. It really can. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast. And you do. I mean, it's significantly less beating when you playing against, like, when I transferred with the Eastern, we played in the OVC. It was great talent in OVC. Don't get me wrong, but. You know, I remember getting to the end of the season and like, man, I could play 12 more. You know what I'm saying? I was running the ball a little bit less, but I was running the ball still, but I was taking way less of a beating, you know, way less of a beating. And it's, you know, you're talking about a 40, 50 pound difference at D-line for some of those guys in some of those positions. So that matters. You know what I'm saying? That matters when you're, you know, you're running up against guys and having little mini car crashes every snap. So, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, I'm with Barnhart and Stoops on that one.
What's it like when you are the week of prep for the quote unquote lesser opponent, for that non-SEC game, for that Chattanooga, the Eastern, whoever it is it different? Do the players kind of get their guard down? Is it hard to get up for that game? Because some of these close games we've seen, like you said, Aaron, squeaking by. Maybe you the game is played like, oh, we just show up and beat them. Is that how the week of practice is? Or coaches are trying to keep you engaged, but how different of a week is it from the normal grind of SEC week?
Yeah, it's human nature, man. I mean, you go from playing Georgia one week to playing whoever the next week, or you're playing, you know, I don't know, South Carolina one week, and you're playing a team that a lot of these kids don't know much about the next week. It's human nature, right? Because there's less stuff going on around campus. There's less buzz about the game. A lot of times, and it's little subtle things like your tutors and your family and friends don't even mention in a game, right? And when you're playing, you get ready to play South Carolina and Georgia, everybody's texting you, they're talking about the game, but you get ready to play Chattanooga and your best friend don't even text you that week about the game. He texts you about some girl or something. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's just little subtle things that creep in when you're playing a quote-unquote lesser opponent. But on the flip side, from a coach's standpoint, coaches know that that's going on. So they try to fight it as much as they can, because you're fighting against human nature. So usually that's when you go to practice and see Stoops, you know, a little bit more animated. You go to practice, see coaches a little bit more juiced up, fired up, because they know, you know, this is one of those games where it's really a lose-lose situation. If we win, we're supposed to beat them. If we lose, that's not good. So those are the weeks where you coach the hardest. You know, and as a coach, I've had those weeks where the team we were playing, we were better than them. So, it won't look very well if we don't even play. Even if we win, if we don't play well, it just don't feel good. So you want to go out there and beat somebody head in, because you know you're supposed to based on your talent level. So that's the difference. You know, that's what you're fighting against human nature with athletes in general, with anybody, you know, even pro athletes. You know, if you play for the Dolphins, or you're playing the Bears or whatever, right? You're not as juiced. It's just human nature, right? So you got to fight it. You got to artificially create some juice in practice, more music, right? More physicality in practice to try to intensify the juice in practice. So there's a lot of tricks of the trade they try as coaches, but it just is what it is. You know, that's why I always admire Nick Saban, because every time they go out and play a lesser, quote unquote, lesser opponent, they usually take care of business pretty good. And that is hard to do, man, because human nature sets in big time when you're not as up forward.
Yeah, not as sharp. It's just interesting. You know, we don't want another conference game, but we could end up playing with fire if we lackadaisical against this lesser opponent. I mean, it's a
y'all remember Auburn and Jacksonville State back in like 2015, 16 or something like that?
There's been
What
was Jacksonville State before Florida State a couple of years ago?
Yeah,
going and
that like a Hail Mary or something? It was something crazy.
Yeah. It was like a bunch of laterals. Was that Oklahoma State Central Michigan game?
Oh yeah.
Stillwater. Yeah. That one's one of the craziest. It shouldn't have counted, but it did. And Central. Yeah, man. Right? You never know. I mean, obviously the famous one is App State going up to the Big House and winning at Michigan. I mean, App State did again at A&M this year, man. You know.
MTSU blasted Miami last year?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Blowout.
What was the game a few years ago? Was it when McElwain was at Florida when the two Florida old linemen were blocking each other?
Yes. Oh God. Yes. Yeah. Those games, man. I like, it's human nature. I mean, crazy things happen. I mean, I think Kentucky against Chattanooga, just if I remember that game, they just kind of sleptwalked, and there might have been a pick in there that shouldn't have happened. It was just more of a sleepy game. You know, they didn't do anything necessarily stupid. They just didn't play well and didn't execute. And then that Northern Illinois game, I mean, the defense just fell apart late in that game, and they kind of got bailed out by some explosive plays on the offensive side. You know, the 70-yard touchdown, I believe, to Berrion, and Tavion got loose for a couple of big ones. And if it weren't for some explosive plays that they didn't really get the rest of the year, you know, they might have lost that one.
Yeah, so think about
not a good Northern Illinois team this year, by the way, guys. I mean, they were like 2-10.
Yeah. I think the flip side of that is, you know, if you're like a Chattanooga, you're coming to Lexington to play a game.
Oh, that's man.
They dream of that. You know, that's what they dream of. So, you know, it's just like you said, and especially if it's a noon game, right? Noon game, there's like a 5:30 a.m., 6 a.m. wake up call. You know, it's a 6 a.m. wake up call. It's a different beast, man. You got
that Ball State nooner.
Yeah, you got your weekend warriors on the team that's not doing what they're supposed to do on Friday night and getting into bed early. So, you know, they got to wake up at 6, and you got to go out here and play a team that you think you're supposed to blow out. And, you know, things go the other way sometimes. It's just – so, like, you're dealing with human nature big time.
So you prefer 3 o'clock? You know, obviously, you don't sound like you didn't like noon games. Do you like the 3:30s or the 7s? Which one –
I like noon games. I was just talking to my brother about this. My brother was saying the same thing. He played at Gardner-Webb. He was saying you can talk to 99.9% of college football players and coaches dislike the 7 o'clock, 7:30 games. You just sit in a hotel all day. I mean, we have walkthrough and breakfast and lunch and, you know, I mean, you have all of that. But, man, it's just a long day. You just sitting there sulking, waiting on the game. You know, so I like, unfortunately, I didn't play like a 3 o'clock game until I got to Easter. We didn't get a chance to play that 3 o'clock or that 3:30 CBS game when I was at Kentucky. But we played at noon, and I was good with the noon game until it got to, you know, like November, you know, some of those noon games are a little bit chilly up there, but, you know, you'd rather play like at 3 or like at 2. Kind of time that thing out, but you know, it wasn't bad. I'd rather noon games any day, and I'm sure most people would say that. Like, they want to wake up and get right to it, man. You're just sitting there soaking all day. Coaches got to go recruit and do this and do that. Some coaches try to leave the hotel to go watch their kids play. The kids are playing sports or whatever on Saturday, and it's just a long day. It's just, you know, it's just a lot. So, you know, most guys will say definitely they'd rather have those earlier games, whether it's noon, whether it's 2:30, 3:30, anything other than a, you know, and don't let it be 8 o'clock kick or 8:30 kick. Oh, shit. You know, it's just,
don't let it be that. I'll tell you, as a media member, 7:30 and 8, hell, because you're there till 1 or 2 in the morning. Yeah. I don't love noon either, but I like 3:30. That's a sweet spot.
Yeah, 3:30 is good. Like I said, when I got to Eastern, we started playing those. We were like 2 and 2:30, and it was just timing out perfect.
That's right.
Everybody can play and go pop.
How many 11 a.m.s did you have?
Halftime. Say what?
Did you have any 11 a.m.s?
Yeah, we had a few 11 a.m.s, man. That now, people say, oh, well, you like playing at 12. 11 is a different beast.
Yeah.
11 is a different – that 1 hour difference is big, man. You talking about a 6:30 a.m. wake-up call and a 5:30. Everybody knows when it's early that, you know, an extra 4 minutes is a lot of time when you're waking up super early like that. And you waking up an extra hour because you got to get up at – I mean, we're kicking off at 11. So we got to be at the stadium by, you know, 8:45, you know. So it's just it's early. You feel like you're playing in YMCA football.
Absolutely. Yeah, Kentucky had two of those this year, man, and they were both on the road. So those were long. I mean, we had to stay in Tupelo, obviously, for Ole Miss. Yeah. We had to get up at 6:45 to make the drive to Oxford, and then you know, Mizzou was at 11 a.m. and I stayed in St. Louis. So those were not fun. I can imagine it was fun for you guys preparing for it.
Yeah, that I remember that noon game in Columbia, Missouri, man. Hey, you talk about human nature, man. you could offer $1 million to every player, and they still wouldn't get up for that game. Something about Columbia, Missouri, man. Sorry, Missouri fans, but y'all need y'all need some new colors or something or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So, man, we got the baseball covered. We got basketball. We got the roster. We hit all that stuff, man. I think we. Do you have two yearbooks going at the same time, Aaron? You like finishing football and starting basketball? Is that how y'all do?
So I'm trying to think what I did last year. It's close. Basketball obviously comes out in I want to say early October. Trying to think if I ever do Simon. I think last year I did do some work kind of. I know I was finishing up some stuff in late June for football and got basketball started in early June or late June, early July, because we had those press conferences with all the players. But since there aren't any players right now, you know, outside of like five that are actually here, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to be a little bit of scrambling late or what, but haven't gotten to dive into basketball yet, but football, you know, like I said, kind of wrapping up and we'll get a lot of stuff going tomorrow with that specifically.
That'll work. Everybody be sure to check that out. And we'll be back next week talking about the Super Regionals. See how the dust settles on Kentucky LSU. Football news will be all on it. Trying to get some guests in here throughout the summertime as well. Working on seeing if we get some people to conversate with. That's always fun too. And if not, three of us keep doing what we do, and hope everybody enjoys that. Go and subscribe. Go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you subscribe. Click the stars. Hopefully give it 5 stars if you like it. If you want to leave a comment about what you think, do that too. We'd appreciate it. I enjoy bringing the podcast to y'all each and every week. I think we covered everything. AG, man, hope you Yankees heal up. Hope everything goes all right with that.
They get to play again soon with that air quality crap going on.
It's a homestand too, right?
It's messing. Yeah, they're home till Sunday. So.
Yeah. So we'll see, man. See what these finals are talking about. Oh, Denver 47, Miami 44. It's got a close game.
Wow.
And they stole one in Denver. So now, hey, they just keep.
Hey, man. It's on. Miami's got the momentum right now.
They keep defying the odds, man. They're outmanned, they're shorthanded, and they just keep on finding ways.
They're an 8 seed. I mean, I know they're a better 8 seed than most, but they're an 8 seed, man. It's great. And didn't they lose a play-in game?
Yeah, yeah.
Like
they had to win the next one.
Yeah. They lost to Chicago.
That was the win or go home, and now here they are in the finals. Yeah.
Or not Chicago. Who'd they lose to in the play? Was it Chicago they lost to? Kind of thing.
Chicago and beat Atlanta. Toronto or something.
Oh, Atlanta. Atlanta. That was it.
Oh.
Yeah. And then Atlanta was the 7 seed. They went up to Boston.
I like watching Miami, though, man. I enjoy watching.
Me too. Yeah. No, they're hard. I mean, obviously, they knocked the Knicks out, which stunk, but they're hard not to like, especially, you know, having been around Tyler. I wish he was healthy, obviously, but Bam, too. Those guys, hard not to root for those guys.
Mm-hmm. I thought Tyler was going to try to play tonight, but
yeah, that'd be a hell of a turnaround, man. I mean, obviously, suffered a broken hand?
Yeah, in game one, first round, game one,
early in that game. Yeah,
he was one of a bunch of not just role players, like game one, you had superstars, you know, Anthony Davis fell and was hurt, Giannis got hurt. Tyler Hero, a bunch of big name players that kind of changed the course of the playoffs, which, you know, it's all about who's healthy and when. And, you know, some people got off to some shaky starts. But we hope the Cats avoid shaky start in Baton Rouge Saturday. And we'll be talking about all that next week. And we hope y'all join us here on Believe in Kentucky for the Cats Pause, Aaron Gershon, the QB1, Jalen Whitlow. My name is Vinny Hardy. And we'll be back next week for another episode of Believe in Kentucky. And we hope y'all join us then. We'll see y'all later.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.